I think we're, ooh, we're turned on. I'm really trying to establish this vision, much define it much more. Countries, I don't think that you realize the impact that Mark Drake Ministries is having on the world, and the probably hundreds of churches that are being established. And so what I'm trying to do is pull things together to show you the magnitude of what this, the effectiveness of this ministry. Okay, now, it's very cost effective because it isn't about big names and big money. Okay, it's about taking the resources that are available and using them. And I don't mean that I don't want Mark to live, but that's about all he does. They sold their house. Twice they sold their house to put everything in the ministry to get this word out. I think he's... Mark and Linda have made a tremendous sacrifice to put the gospel out. And what they're doing is very, very, very not only cost effective, but very, very effective in its outcome for the gospel. Okay. Now, I partnered with Mark quite some time ago, and I'm talking probably 25 years ago. I've known Mark more than that. But I really never fully realized God's purpose in it and the vision that was there. Only until the Holy Spirit really came to me and moved on me. And I saw some of the results of praying in the Spirit and catching the burden for that ministry that made me realize how effective we could be right here in Bay City. And I had the vision before that. I'll show you some of the things that, you know, I won't do it this morning, but so we're going to, this is just a different Sunday. So last week was a very strong emphasis on teaching, and that message, of course, everyone that has not heard last week's message needs to hear last week's message. We're going to do just a couple more things this morning, and then I'm going to spend a few minutes to teach a little bit. Not real long, but we're going to... How many believe the miracle workers in the house?
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, you know, the Holy Spirit is at work in me trying to raise my expectancy level. You know, we'll never go beyond what we corporately expect God to do. Okay, that's why it's so important that we catch the world vision for the gospel. And it's so important when we come together that it's just normal for us to see answered prayer and the working of miracles. Okay. And I'm trying to uphold that God's purpose for us gathering. You know, the church is the body of Christ is the place where his power should be demonstrated. You know, we have no proof. We have no testimony unless the same power that was wrought in Christ is manifest when he was raised from the dead is manifest in our midst. And we just slowly allow the truth to be undermined to the point where we become powerless. Okay. We become powerless. Just like this. Anyway, I just want to talk for just a few minutes. Our time is wrapped. I had been doing a series of messages on victory in personal testimony. Now, I know this doesn't sound like a real exciting message, but this is something that the Holy Spirit led me to do. And I have a testimonial book. I don't have a million testimonies wrote down in it, but I have testimonies in it that resolved conflict in my heart and established me in the truth that would endure for the rest of my life. Now, when I say testimonies, I mean there you may be struggling in a certain area and you're double-minded. And you're being defeated. Now, I'm not saying that critically. I'm just trying to help you understand that the Holy Spirit led me by His grace to establish specific testimonies in my heart that once I was established there and received them into my heart, I found closure. All conflict of doubt, unbelief, circumstantial evidence was gone. Okay, my heart was settled because His word is settled in heaven. And it was settled in my heart. It was established there. And so last week I explained in detail exactly what a real testimony is. Okay, and we use our text was Revelation 12:11, so we want to just use that as our text. At Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Okay, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Now, what I do to help you understand, this is just a general Bible scripture that we can have knowledge of. We might even be able to quote it, but we have no reality of what it's trying to establish in us as with a personal testimony. Okay, and I think that's sometimes why people's faith falls short of God's glory. Okay, now I took this, which we talked about last week, you know, because it was set, the scripture itself is set in a future setting, but I said it's applicable for any time. Okay, and we talked about every aspect, a lot of different aspects of this scripture. Like I spent quite a bit of time talking about a real testimony is a testimony where people love not their life unto the death. In other words, if they are threatened with death and they have to undergo martyrdom, they will not deny Jesus Christ and their testimony. Okay. I don't know how big that would fly in the American church today. But these people down in, was it East Africa where we're doing, and we're trying to get maps up, you can see in different places in the world the pressure that Christians are under to hold a personal testimony of their salvation in their heart. Okay, now we can break salvation down into the different realities, new creation realities of salvation. Some of us need a strong testimony in specific areas in their life to overcome, and you don't have it. You have general knowledge, but you don't have a testimony that endures. And that was one of the, you know, I don't know if we want to call it a problem, but it was something that I discovered within my own heart. Wait a minute. What's going on here? Why am I double-minded? Why am I wavering? Where's my witness? Where's my testimony? And I'm back and forth. You know, several times I recognized the fact that in certain areas I was not established in the truth with an enduring testimony. And I was wavering. And I'm not saying that to condemn myself. I'm just saying that I had to repent of that, and I had to ask the Lord. But you see, that was the work of the Holy Spirit in me. He brought me that conviction. Sometimes you don't realize that you're falling short of God's glory because you have a little bit of knowledge, but the knowledge is not knowledge that governs your life, your testimony, your actions, your character, your word. Okay, and so that's where the Holy Spirit started dealing with me about the difference between having biblical knowledge and having a real, well, they were using it today, rock-solid testimony that's established there in the heart for the rest of your life. Okay? When you're no longer wavering, you're no longer questioning, you're no longer doubting, You're almost immune to any lies or satanic lies or attacks or circumstances. You're just immune to that stuff. It doesn't mean anything to you anymore because you know the truth. And the truth does what? It sets you free. Yeah. You know, I've read that scripture and I've thought to myself, boy, I'm not free. Well, I didn't really know the truth. Once I knew that, and I knew that was, the Bible talks about the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Amen. And you have to have a testimony is a testimony that is so deeply rooted and established in your heart that it endures through time, no matter what's going on in the natural world that is constantly, if you want to be insecure, look at how the world is changing. You won't find security there. There's nothing for sure. But the word of the Lord remains the same. Amen. And it enables you to be steadfast. Okay? And so that's the kind of thing I'm trying to talk about. I've heard Revelation 12, 11, hundreds and hundreds of times. I can quote Revelation 12, 11. But what good does it do if it has no reality in my heart? Okay. And they overcame. And we talked about that word last week, they. And you need to say, you know, it needs to be personalized. I overcame. Okay, Christ made me an overcomer. I'm an overcomer. And I don't mean that, this isn't a pride statement or a self-centered statement. It's a statement of what redemption does for you. I've overcome now by the blood of the Lamb. And I think it would be a very, you know, now we've got enough teaching in this one scripture that we could focus on the truth in that for the rest of the year. Every believer needs to thoroughly learn the truth about the blood of Jesus. Okay, you need to do that for yourself. You need to understand what the Word of God says the blood does for you. What the blood did for you and what the blood does for you. You need to know that. You need to understand that. Now, you know, Derek Prince has some tremendous teaching on the blood. And the word of their testimony, now it's gotta come to the word of, not self-centered again, but the word of my testimony. You can't live by someone else's. You can admire their faith. You can be encouraged in their faith, but you have to have, the testimony has to be yours. Yeah. Personal. What, the reality of what Jesus did for you. Okay, once you're established in the truth, and then it eliminates all fear is really gone. It isn't a question that fear would come against you, but it's gone. Okay. And so I set out the word of their testimony, and notice that it's the word of their testimony. I mean, it's more than trying to believe something. It is what's really in your heart comes out of your mouth. I'll just tell you that right now, and you know it, and I know it. What you really believe will eventually, okay. Now, when you believe a truth in your heart, and it's established there and creating faith there, you speak that word with power. You speak that word with authority. You're not just trying, you know. I can think of times where just in vain I would exhaust myself trying to believe the word, and I thought the more I would speak it, the more. And it was totally 100% counterproductive to a true testimony. When the truth is established in your heart and that witness is there, the first thing is you don't have to prove it to anybody. Amen. You have a confidence, an assurance. You're not trying to prove it to yourself or anyone else. It's just the reality of the truth in your heart, and you have a true confession. That confession comes out, but it comes out at the right time and the right place for the right reason. Okay. And instead of having a testimony, you have real integrity. God's integrity in your heart. It's governing your heart now. Okay. You know, and you speak the truth in love. The only reason you speak it is because you're trying to help. You know, it may be that you're trying to help someone else understand and overcome. Okay. So when the Holy Spirit showed up, I was, and I'm not gonna repeat the testimony because I already did it a couple times, but then God added to it. When he showed up, it's like a light bulb went on in my mind, in my head. Wow, you know, it was like Lord. Just like the Bible says, he'll make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And sometimes you're just lost. And you need to find, and it was like the Holy Spirit's telling me, you know, I want to establish God's testimony in your heart. And all this other stuff will be resolved. I talked a little bit about finding closure. I'm a big closure guy, you know, when someone dies and you're at the gravesite, you at that point find closure. Doesn't mean you don't cry or you don't mourn, but it just means that you find closure in saying, okay, I give my right to this person. Thank you, Lord, for the relationship I had with them in this life, and I give you that relationship now. And I receive your grace to close the case. Okay. You need closure in life. If you do not have closure, you have conflict. And you do not need conflict on the inside. You're always going to have it on the outside, but you don't need it. The turmoil of conflict in here. And that's where a true testimony resolves that conflict. And a true testimony, you are at peace. The issue has been settled. The struggle is over. I didn't say the battle, the fight sometimes is over outwardly. But the inward struggle is over because you have the inward assurance of the truth. Okay, you got it? That's why you can't go by the circumstance. You can't live, well, somebody prayed and they never got healed. Well, what does that mean?
Come on.
What does that mean? Nothing. They didn't have the truth in their heart, okay? Now, you know I'm not very good at notes, don't you? We were, and so what I did today, which we're not going to get into very much today, I did... I took Revelation 12:11, and the first point I put there was, and I overcame, or we overcame. And then what I did is I took a catalog of scriptures, you know, like, we're more than conquerors. We're more than conquerors because Christ already conquered, and then we participate in a victory that's already been won on the cross. That's why we can say we're more than conquerors. And I'm going to tell you something right now. If we can't establish a testimony on the certainty of that victory that Christ won on the cross, then you won't have a testimony. Okay? And so I put in there I, or for instance, you, or we. Okay, you can say it this way, that you need to have a testimony that you're an overcomer. That would be one testimony that you could configure and or write out in a testimony book, establishing the truth of how Christ made you more than a conqueror. Okay, establishing the truth. Okay, this is just one example of something you can do. So, you know, in a situation like this, you would take the truth and establish it in a way that you renew not only your mind, but plant it in your heart that you are more than a conqueror. See what I'm saying? That should be your testimony. Otherwise, you know, the devil and this world will win. I promise you, they will. I'm not trying to magnify that, but you have no defense against it. You have no truth to overcome it. And these are the places you need to get real serious about establishing a testimony in your heart. Say, real serious.
Real serious.
Say, I'm not a victim.
I'm not a
victim. I always tried to tell people that, but the only problem is you allow yourself to be a victim if you don't establish the truth in your heart. I mean, we need to take these great and precious promises, and I talked about how sacred a covenant or a testimony is. Sacred. The heart was made to be a sacred place. Where we guard the greatest treasures that he has placed there. You understand what Pastor's saying? You just don't prostitute your heart out. You know, we're to guard it, and we're to realize that this is the place of communion and fellowship in the Holy Spirit with a holy God. Okay. And so, you know, the Holy Spirit, I know that he's dealing with us all the time, but let's put it this way. Sometimes you are struggling and you feel hopeless, or you feel as though you're being overcome and you don't see a victory. Okay, you don't see a way out. And when that's happened to me, you know, I found out one thing for sure. When you need an answer, ask the right questions. When you need an answer, ask the right questions, and God will answer your prayer and answer your question. Okay? A lot of times we're just feel defeated, discouraged, depressed, overcome. And the enemy takes advantage of all those mental and soulish conditions, and then he starts to lie. God is not faithful. God has forsaken you. So, you know, when I establish a testimony, I establish a testimony, number one, because I'm struggling to overcome and to see to know the reality of the truth. I'm struggling. It's all right to struggle. I can't find God. And he's the thing I need. He's the person I need the most in my life. And then you ask the right question and pray for wisdom, and then just be patient. And, you know, but when Jesus shows up, he always shows up as the truth.
Amen.
Okay. Folks, I'm going to just tell you, I don't want to be in conflict, but a lot of times people just depend on the world and their advice. Now, I have conflict. Sometimes I get way out of balance with things, you know what I mean? And it's like, I'm not against medical help, but I don't want to grasp for straws. I've grasped for straws too many times in my life, trying this, trying that, hoping this would work, hoping that would work. If God's going to give me medical help, then it's going to have to be specific guidance from the Holy Spirit. That's my belief. I don't want to be like the woman with the issue of blood that had many physicians and never grew better, but rather grew worse. I take it first to God. I'm not saying he can't use man. I'm just saying that if he's going to use a human agent, then it's got to be a divine appointment. Are you listening? And so just to settle that issue. You know, and I just have to learn, you know, I have to trust God without having fear, because I've already lost my fear of death, and I know that nothing can separate me from his love. That's all settled in my heart. That is a testimony that I have. I think it's a good one, because we're all headed that way. Okay, but I'm not going to let the devil toy with my mind and torment my mind concerning my future and concerning physical death itself. That is completely 100% turned over to Jesus Christ, and I will not die until the exact moment that he takes me. That's all settled. Okay. I'm not afraid. Okay. And I have the patience to wait. If God's going to use man in some way, then I have the patience to wait for that divine appointment to be real. That, so just to help you with that, you know, I'm not going to go to this doctor and that doctor and this doctor and that doctor. I'm going to Dr. Jesus. And most of the time, that's the only place I've ever had to go. Okay, and I'm not downing anyone for what they do, but a lot of stuff that's instilled in you in all different ways is believed as a child, you know, and we never really get past all of that and learn to establish ourselves in waiting on the Lord and trusting in him. Okay, that's all I'm trying to tell you. I'm not coming against anything you do, you make your own decisions, but I'm going to tell you something. When I have When I have something that's threatening my life, I'm going to tell you, the first place I go is I take it to Jesus Christ and I cast the care of it on him. Lord, I know that, do you believe that God cares for you? I mean, do you believe that he's a child abuser or a child neglecter, that he would do something to neglect you to the point where you would die because of it? What kind of a parent, you know, what kind of a God are we dealing with here? Okay. It gets pretty serious, you know. I mean,
it does.
In the Bible, I dealt in that area too, where it was trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Otherwise, you go through life questioning everything. Why, God? Why did you let this happen? And why did you allow that to happen? And it's not a question of why, it's a question of who you're supposed to trust and turn things over to him. There's times that you just can't, as much as you want to make life work, you just ain't going to make it work yourself. No, Tony Robbins is wrong. Okay, why did I do that? Why did I bring... I don't go to him for answers. I go to Jesus for my answers. I'm not downing Tony Robbins. I just don't follow it. I'm not self-sufficient. I'm God-sufficient. Okay, the big difference. Say I'm God dependent.
I am God dependent.
Okay. Well, hallelujah.
Amen.
We never did get to our notes, but that's... We got to the message, and we're going to close. I brought up enough here for the rest of the year, you know, I mean, just...
Thank you, Lord.
But you see, we'll get into it next week. We'll get into the, but you're more than a conqueror, okay?
Amen.
And I mean, this is, you know, they overcame. No, I overcame. I overcame.
Amen.
I overcame. Okay? Personal. It's not they, it's not the unknown. It's thank God for those people in Africa. And these people are paying a price for overcoming. Some of them are losing their life. And that's how real a testimony is. I admire people that have that kind of conviction about their walk with God and their relationship with Jesus. I hope that we could sometime live up to something like that, you know. Well, thank you for your undivided attention. Please get yourself a nice notebook of some sort and put on it testimony. Okay, now you might want to get two. You might want to get a scribble until you get it established good. And then ask the Holy Spirit to lead you, establish you in testimonies that will endure for the rest of your life. And you'll be surprised when he comes. You know, you need to, he wants you to think constructively and build a life testimonies, right? Okay.
Praise the Lord.